How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good. Hey, this morning, just want to welcome everybody here this morning. I seen a picture on Facebook the other day of Easter Sunday and what it looks like in a pew and then the Sunday following. So we're kind of close to that Sunday following picture. But last week, there's nowhere to sit in here. But that's great. That's good. You always have those once a year Christians. So we won't cast any blame on them or anything this morning. We hope that we have a good service this morning. God's really been messing with me a lot this week. This weekend has been brutal with battling strep throat. Late Thursday night, Friday, and then a little bit yesterday morning, and now it's hopefully gone away. So I got me a bottle of water down there and trying to get the guys to get the icicles to start hanging back here so it won't be so hot up here. But no, it's going to be a good Sunday. We've got some visitors here this morning, and thank you for being here. We hope that this is your place that you want to serve, and we welcome you in our church. And this is a great place and a great community and a great midst of believers in this church. So this morning, just want to welcome you guys. Thank y'all for being here. We'll ask Charlie to go ahead and open our service up in prayer, and then following him, Grayson's going to come up and talk a little bit about a trip to Africa, I think, that's in her future. So, Charlie.
Every time I come to church now, it's like, I don't know, I get up here, but whatever, it's fine. We were in class one day, and one of my professors, his name is Dr. C, he presented us with an opportunity to go to Zambia, Africa, and he's been over there multiple times. He has taken over 750 students overseas in his lifetime, and he's been to 26 different countries. And I really felt the Lord put this on my heart, because obviously the Great Commission is for us to go to make disciples. But at first my dad was like, no way, there's absolutely, you're like not going. I mean, y'all know my daddy. But my heart really began to break for my dad, I guess. It wasn't necessarily, my prayer wasn't to get to go to Zambia. My prayer was to, I don't know, I guess just for my parents to see that I'm their baby, you know, a lot of y'all have kids, so you know, you get it. I guess my prayer was Lord, break my dad's heart for your gospel. And so through lots of praying, and a lot of people on the mountain were praying, for my parents, that's exactly what the Lord did. He broke my dad's heart. When I was talking to him, that's what he said. The Lord broke me. And I was like, whoa. And my dad said he was going to call Dr. C on the phone. And that was going to be the kind of the yes or no thing. And so the day that I knew that my dad was going to call Dr. C, I was having my quiet time. And I was like, Lord, you know, it'd be really cool if you could give me a sign, tell me if I'm gonna get to go or not before I get to go, and today sometime. And so I was reading my quiet time, I read Psalm 37, and it started talking about you will inherit this land, and it said that five times, and I was like, So we go to class, and I had Roger's class that day. If you don't know who Roger is, he's the president, global preacher guy, you know, whatever. And he was talking about how he started talking about Psalm 37, and I was like, wait, what? And he said that was the scripture that pushed him to buy the property for Global, because it said, you will inherit this land. And I was like, okay, Lord, I guess this is it. I guess I'm going. And at this point, my dad was still I felt hardcore no. And then I got cold during work, so I go to my room and get a blanket, and there is a note on my bed that says Grayson in Zambia on it with $60 in it. And I was like, okay, Jesus, I'm going. You got to change my dad's heart. I don't know. So after my dad gets off the phone with Dr. C. Dr. C just so happened to be driving, like, down to the dorms. He honked the horn at me. He opens up the door, and he says, "Looks like you're going to get a good sleep on that plane right after camp." And I was like, "No way." So I just cried. It was really cool what the Lord did. But anyway, that being said, I've typed up a letter kind of what Global has looked like for the past year for me, and a little bit more about Zambia. So I'm, you know, I'll just put them at the back, and if you want to take one, you can take one. And I'm also selling T-shirts, so if you guys want to, and I know a lot of you have, want to help me get there and go, I'll be over there for 10 days, and I will get to present the gospel, lead worship, serve, just lots of different cool things. So if you feel it on your heart to give, that would be great, awesome, and I love you guys so much.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board. Steadfast, you have Jesus on board. No storm has ever troubled our Lord. No one knows what life's gonna bring, but you're safe. You are a child of the
sounding song that y'all For
I didn't sing with y'all this morning, but that means I get the chance to talk about you. Now, I think we need to give our worship team a round of applause. They really do put a lot of time and effort on Wednesday nights practicing, and it seems to be what we go through, 40 songs to find out which ones we want to sing on Sunday morning. So, no, they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into the music. This morning, when I started on this journey of trying to figure out what my faith looks like and what my faith is, and if this Jesus thing, if it was right for me, I began to ask myself a question. Well, what does your fruit look like? And I started wondering, well, am I a bushel of thorns, or am I a produce stand? And I really like the analogy of a produce stand. I think that's really the question this morning that we need to ask ourselves is, what does our faith really look like? And are we a produce stand? And like I said, I like that analogy, because when you think about it, you go to a produce stand, they've got the best looking fruit right up front, right? And that's a marketing strategy, obviously, and a really, really good sales strategy as well, because they want you to buy that, the best looking fruit. But what happens when that fruit gets bought is that it's gone, it's not there, so the manager or the storekeeper or the produce stand keeper or whatever you want to call them, the retail associate, they go back to the back, they go over the cooler, or the trailer or whatever they got their fruit at, and they put the next best looking fruit right back in its spot. I think we can apply that to how we live our life today and how we are what our faith looks like. It's because we need to be bearing that succulent looking, great looking fruit that people in the community want to buy from us. When you took on the oath of Christ, when you took on the redemption of the blood of the cross, and when you took on the redemption of Jesus Christ, and you went under the water, and you come back up, and you're redeemed now, you have an obligation, we have an obligation, to go out and to market and to sell Jesus Christ. So, we need to start bearing good fruit. This morning, I really want to talk to us, and me included, and that's why I say us, on how can we start bearing good fruit, and some tips. And there's a ton of tips out in the Bible that talks about bearing fruit. And you go back, look in the book of Matthew, when Jesus talks about a fruit tree being healthy and bearing good fruit, we want to keep those around, right? And they also mentions the one that doesn't bear any fruit. It's a diseased tree. What happens to it? Well, we cut it down and we throw it in the fire because it's no good to us no more. So many times, Christians these days, we get caught up and we bear good fruit for a season, and then after that, there's no more fruit. So our witness to the world is no longer helping us any. So guess what? We pretty much get cut down and thrown in the fire because nobody is going to pay us any attention anymore. I told Chad that you know, that he's in our thoughts and prayers this morning. Him and Stephanie will be traveling back tomorrow. But I told him that I was going to get me a handkerchief and fold it up and put it up here on the podium so I could keep him in mind while I'm preaching. I did send my sermon to him for his approval, so we're good. We've been cleared on that. So we can rock on this morning. But like I said, we have to go out into the public and we have to put God on display. But in order for us to put God on display, we have to bear good fruit. The fruit that we bear has to be succulent to those people. Because guess what? They're going to keep wanting more, right? Once we get them involved, they're going to keep wanting more and more and more. So we have to be that fruit tree that starts bearing fruit over and over and over and over again. When you have a good plant in the garden, it's food and water, right, to make that plant grow. And we'll get into that a little bit in a minute. But you have a good tomato plant, for example, and you go out and you cut those tomatoes off of it, and then you water it and food it, and guess what? A good plant will bear what? Another bushel of tomatoes, right? You don't just go out and cut that plant down, okay? But it's about planting and taking care of your produce stand. This morning, I want you to turn with me in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians, chapter 1. Verse 9 and 12, 9 through 12. A little set you up real quick in this book right here. Paul is obviously the writer of this book along with Timothy. And Paul is in prison. And Paul is writing this epistle to the church there in Colossae. And he more than likely know these people just by the writings from Epaphras that has went and visited there and come back. Paul has never met these people in person, as the writing suggests, but Paul has a deep prayer for these people because he knows their potential, and he knows that these people can bear much fruit, but he's going to give them some words of encouragement here. Let's begin reading. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened while all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. And my favorite verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we are so grateful and we're so humble this morning that we get to serve a risen Savior. And God, this morning we pray that you just help us in this church this morning to begin to bear good fruit. And God, that we find out how that we can do that this morning. And Father, through this message, through your message this morning, I pray that hearts are changed, God, that minds are focused on you, Father, and that we begin to become a congregation, God, of fruit bearers. God, I just want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity, God, to speak this message. And God, I pray that you just take me away. God, remove myself from this podium, Father, and let your spirit and your words preach through me this morning. In your name, I pray. Amen. So, I want to show you a few keys as to how to bear fruit. The first, I want to talk to you about prayer. Number one is that we need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We're going to follow it up here in just a minute on our third point on verse 18. But real simple, right? Paul is saying, pray without ceasing. It seems simple enough that we should pray without ceasing, but is it really that simple? Do we go around all day and do we just keep our eyes closed, Rudy, and we just pray all day long and we run into each other? No, that's not what Paul is talking about here. But we need to understand that this morning, that if we want to bear great fruit, you must pray without ceasing. Because that, through prayer, is your spiritual language. We all have a spiritual breath. We all have a spiritual language. And it comes to us in the voice of prayer. This morning is the most foundational fundamental or principle to a sound spiritual life. Let me say it again. Prayer is the most fundamental principle to a sound spiritual life. What does that mean? Well, in order for you to grow closer to God, you got to talk to Him. You have to constantly find yourself in the midst of that prayer. And Paul is not talking here about just walking around today with your eyes closed and talking to God and running into each other, right? No, he's talking about a persistent prayer. He's talking about even though times are good, you still pray. Even though times are bad, you still pray. He's talking about a persistent prayer. And the goal here through the prayer is that you have an essence of God inward and outward. You have God all about you, inward and outward. Inward means when you have those inward struggles, right? You're not scared to talk to God. You're not scared to tell Him what's on your mind because He already knows. And that outward showing of that prayer, bearing that fruit, is that on that outward showing of the gospel and outward showing of the prayer is that people see that you mean what you say and you mean who you are because you are engaged in that talk with God. People take notes. When you're out in the community and you pray, people take notes. The other night at the Relay for Life, I thought it was great because they actually prayed before we did the Star Spangled Banner. Everybody in the whole football field stopped what they're doing, they bowed their head, and we prayed. What an outwardly show of good fruit. Some have been the first time they ever had an opportunity to engage, to talk to God. But because somebody on that stand, whoever wrote the schedule for the event, said, we've got to open this up with prayer. And they showed an outward appearance of their fruit. Now, because of a simple prayer, somebody may have the opportunity this morning to go to their church and want to know more about what that's going on. So it's an inward essence, and it's an outward essence as well. But you have to be engaged in prayer in order for you to bear good fruit. A Christian that bears good fruit, church, is one that is persistent in their prayers. Persistent prayer is one that is without ceasing, but it's not one that's really with words, if that makes sense. Prayer doesn't always have to be you talking to God in worship. But I really like how Paul illustrates it here, is that it is a persistent prayer that has us in a one attitude with God and a God consciousness, or a God conscious person. Because all day now, if we have a persistent prayer and we pray through those hard times, those good times, and we pray without ceasing, then now God is starting to dwell in our mind in the midst of us, and He surrounded us. So now all the fear, the anxiety, the discouragement, the details that the devil gets to live in, he has no more room in our mind because now prayer has taken over our life and we're persistent in our prayer and we're praying without ceasing. And now we have a God consciousness and we are locked in to who God wants us to be, and we're locked in with Him. And we're praying with God, and we're walking all day in a one prayer, a persistent prayer. Our spiritual breath is our prayer language. When you take on the oath of the cross, when you are buried in that baptism and you're raised to walk a new life, a lot of preachers say raised to walk what? In unison with Jesus Christ. Your prayer, your persistent prayer should start then, and from that point you should start bearing those good fruits. But we think that a brief moment with God is good enough for us. We hold our breath. We hold our breath sometimes. We don't get those long-winded, persistent prayers that we should with God, but yet we hold our breath. We hold our spiritual breath, and these short moments, church, are not good enough for you and me. A short prayer, a short moment with God is not good enough, and we will not bear that good fruit because we have to find ourselves in that God consciousness. Paul says to pray without ceasing, never stop. If you want to bear good fruit, and if you want to be a fruit-bearing tree, a healthy tree, and not a bushel of thorns this morning, you've got to start praying. You've got to start praying. Some of you in here have a very dynamic prayer life. Our kids, our youth group, we talk about it in our small groups. I know the guys do, but they have a very dynamic prayer life. And that's good. That's the way they can grow. In our church, we have very dynamic prayers. Okay, but as a whole, we need to start working on praying more. Second this morning, I want you to show you one more thing. The second point this morning is to, if we want to bear good fruit, we have to constantly increase our knowledge about God. We have to constantly increase our knowledge. Through God's Word, guys, is where we gain our knowledge. To know God, we've got to study about Him. The word know closely relates itself to a relationship. And the word know is almost found subtly in the love language. And I want to explain that. Because if I truly say that I love my wife, for example, I have to get to know her. Right? Because I can't truly love somebody unless I know them. You can't sit here and say you truly love Jesus Christ, but you don't give Him any time to get to know Him. Amen. It's all about gaining that knowledge of God. He loves you so much, He knows every single hair on your head. I think that's really cool. When I was in high school, He had a three-ring binder for me because I had a lot of hair. I had to get it cut all the time. Now he just has to staple the papers together because, unfortunately, they're going away. On the back part of my head, he no longer has to count anymore. But he knows how many hairs you got because he loves you and he knows you, right? But in order for us to get to know Him, we have to love Him, and through that love, we know Him more, right? God grants knowledge to those who have an honest relationship with Him. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." Peter, right here, ends his second book in a statement of basically what the first chapter is all about. Think that's important? Think this one verse is of any importance today? He's trying to tell us something here, right? Peter's trying to say, hey, wake up. In order for you to truly love God, you've got to know Him. And you've got to have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to keep bearing good fruit, we have to be mature in our faith. We have to be mature in our faith. Now, a new Christian can have good fruit. They can produce good fruit. But honest with you, a new Christian is going to produce good fruit for a season because they're not mature. That Christian walk, that Christian maturity, they have not grown as much as they should. We have to have a deepening knowledge of God. A deeper knowledge creates a more stable Christian faith. For us to be a true believer, for us to not have the opportunity to be led astray, we have to give God, and through our all of our knowledge of Him. Because when we start to build ourselves in that maturity and we have that deeper knowledge and that deeper understanding, our faith gets more stable. And now the devil, like we mentioned earlier, has no more room to come into our life and has no more room for his ways to start working overtime in us, because now we have a fundamental, foundational, and principled Christian faith which is mature. You don't go out and cut okra off a immature okra plant, right? You wait till that okra is ready and ripe to be picked, right? I'm not a farmer. Don't have many gardens. But I know it's common sense, right, that fruit plant or that tree or whatever that you're planting, that you have to wait until that is mature. God has designed that apple tree to be at its fullest and maturest before it starts producing an apple ready to be picked. His hand is in every situation. His hand is in every thing going on in the world. We have to have a deepening knowledge of God in order for us to produce good fruit. For fruit to grow, it must be fed. For us as a Christian, in order for us to, we have to be fed. So what does that mean? That means every opportunity that you get as a Christian to come and listen to the gospel, to come and listen to somebody teaching about God, for you have that time at home, you need to be in the book, you need to be in there studying, and you need to be getting and increasing that knowledge of Christ, increasing that knowledge of God. This book here is your fertilizer. Okay, if you are a gardener, I like to put out fertilizer on my grass. Not sure why, because I got a lot of dirt. But hey, it seems to work sometimes. Okay, but in order for you to be a strong Christian and a mature Christian, you have to get this book and you have to dive in here and you've got to start studying and putting this fertilizer in your Christian life, because the only way for you to produce good fruit is that you get fed. In order for us to have a deeper relationship with someone, we have to appreciate that, okay? And through studying and through loving God, that's when the appreciation is at its fullest potential. Thirdly, this morning, we want to give thanks even in the storm. We want to produce good fruit. We need to give thanks even in the storm. And I told Chad that I would try to be brief this morning. Give thanks even in the storm. And I did tell him one other thing. I said that maybe we won't have to hand out thesauruses and dictionaries this week, because I won't try to make up any words. So, but we have to give thanks even in the storms. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And right here, Paul, he gives you verse 17. And then after that, pray without ceasing, he gives you this last verse. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ you. In everything give thanks." You want to bear good fruit, we have to start giving thanks. The people in the community see you when you praise God. Okay, well, New Harmony, they've got it going on over there. They're praising God. But what happens when the storm hits? How many are going to leave? What happens when the storm hits? Are they going to keep this that persistent prayer? Are they going to continue increasing their knowledge in God? Thanks. When times get tough. There is a family in Clay County, and we've been praying for them, who lost their 3-year-old son a couple weeks ago to cancer. But I had the opportunity to listen to Eli's dad, Jason, speak on Facebook Live at a church. And this was maybe a Sunday night of the week that this little boy died. And at this point, the young boy was obviously not doing well. Hospice was there involved. And you could see the fear on the guy's face on Facebook watching him preach. But it struck me is that his whole message was about thanksgiving and giving God praise and thankfulness, even though his son was laying there on his deathbed. And I thought, wow, what type of faith is that? What kind of faith is that? I mean, that is amazing. And the other night, as I was thinking about what to talk about, I was watching the Bible episode on TV, and it was It had the Abraham on there, and he had to take his son Isaac up on top of the mountain, right, to commit that sacrifice to God. And in Abraham's mind, he knew that God was going to provide a lamb, but in his mind, I could only imagine that that lamb was his son. Because the way the show portrayed it, and once the lamb showed up on the top, him being so ecstatic, right, that he does not have to sacrifice his own son. But the thankfulness and the thanksgiving that Abraham was giving God as he was walking his own son up to the top of the mountain to die. Oh, if I had a faith, just half of faith as Abraham did. In order for us to bear good fruit, church, we have to give thanks even in the storm. Find ourselves in that God consciousness that we begin to give thanks no matter the circumstances, no matter the scenario. I always get in my car or my truck on the way to work and I pray. And one thing that I tell God every day on the way to work is, God, no matter what happens today, let me give you praise. No matter what happens today. If I'm fired, if I get a raise, that hadn't happened, but if I have a wreck, let me give you praise. No matter what, let me give you praise. Because I know on the other side of the storm, guess who's going to still be standing there? And it's going to be God. And sometimes we lose our focus on that as a church and as Christians. We lose our focus on that and we think that, oh, we're driving through this storm. There's not going to be anything on the other side. It's going to be cloudy the whole way. But let me tell you something. Christ is waiting on you on the other side through it. We have to give him praise and we have to give him thanksgiving during the storm. A spirit of thanksgiving is a mark of a joyous Christian. Say it again. A spirit of thanksgiving is a mark of a joyous Christian. What does that mean? Well, even when times are tough, I'm still happy. Why? Because I've got Jesus on my side. Even when times are happy or when times are good, I'm happy because I've got Jesus on my side. There's no point in anybody in this church getting down on yourself, getting discouraged today, because Christ is with you no matter where you go. In order for you to bear good fruit, you have to start to know this. And you have to take that to heart this morning. If we are to bear good to see, we must cultivate a spirit of thankfulness even amid those trials. Giving thanks is a command from God. We know that God spoke this book into existence, right? We know that God gave these guys the breath and the authority to write. We know that God gave them a hand that's worthy of writing what he wants to write. And what did he put in this book in verse 18? Give thanks. Everything. If you've got your Bible open, circle that word everything. Because that word implies even when the job fails, even when the family member dies, even when the bills keep piling up, even when you think there's no tomorrow, give God thanks. Because he is there the whole time. We have to pray without ceasing. We have to increase our knowledge of God, because in order for us to love God the way we should, we've got to get to know him. If you do not know your spouse, then you truly don't love them. Thirdly, we have to give thanks even in the storm. This morning, I don't know what your faith looks like, what your fruit looks like outside of the church. I know some of you. But I need you to ask yourself a question this morning. Are you a produce stand? Are you being a produce stand? Is your fruit getting pulled off the shelf by those people that want to buy it? And are you replacing it with that succulent, delicious, eye-catching fruit? It's a question this morning. Are you a produce stand? I love that analogy. I love that illustration. We, as a Christian, should be a produce stand. We should find ourselves as a produce stand this morning. When we leave this church today, let's start to rotating that fruit to the front so people can start purchasing it, and let's start marketing who God and Jesus. A church that's full of fruit and not a church that's full of thorns this morning. This morning, during the invitation time, I don't know, like I said, where you're at in your life as far as with your fruit. But this morning, the altar is wide open. So this morning, as we begin our invitation time and as the music will play here in just a minute, you can pray up here. It doesn't matter to me. But I want you to ask yourself, are you a produce stand this morning? As we stand this morning and we begin our invitation, the altar is open. Are you rotating that fruit? Are you putting the best fruit out front that people can see, or are you mixing it in with a bushel of thorns? See, there are some bitter Christians. There are some Christians that stand in the way, but they are Christians that bear good fruit. And we want to be a church that is a fruit-bearing church, so we have the opportunity to push those thorn Christians out and eventually let them bear that good fruit. So this morning, as we sing, the altar is wide open for you.